This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
Yeah, I made it a little bigger. I have it filling more on my screen now.
Okay.
That's so better. I can see a little bit better now. Birthday boy. All right. Let's see here. All the things. Perfect. Hey, welcome to Bob's. I did I not say the? I think I said welcome to Bob's, like I'm a fucking caveman.
Let's play the party freeze game.
Hey, welcome to the two Bob's. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert, and you're listening to episode 174 for Monday, February 14th. Rob, happy Valentine's Day, 2022.
You too, buddy. This week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about, as always, the beer we're drinking. We're also going to revisit our discussion from last week where we talked about Girl Scout cookies.
And then we jumped into crazy news where we talked about a Charo's pizza ad, stolen car mishap, a hand grenade, Magic Kingdom, some lost teeth, and Rent-A-Shit-Man. And yes, you did hear that right.
Rent-A-Shit-Man.
That's a good one. I would like that to be the title, but it would never work.
Probably not. So this year for Valentine's Day, I beat COVID. So yeah. That's why we didn't have an episode because I had the Rona. And so that was fun. It was an adventure.
You're better now though?
Yeah, more or less. I still get the fatigue.
Still honoring.
There's that has nothing to do with COVID, Robert.
Right.
I get the overall like tiredness and fatigue. I fatigue a lot faster than I used to, and that could just be because I'm old and fat now. But
age, yeah.
It could just be because I got COVID, and that seems to have exacerbated it. So anyway, other than that though, it wasn't that bad. Like I was kind of joking. I lucked out. I got COVID light, and
had a lot of shots. That's why.
Well, I had the shots. The shots, I feel like, even though I still got COVID, even though I was, double vax and booster and blah, 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 I still feel like it helped. It could have been worse. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even have a fever or anything. Like, I had a headache, a little bit of a headache for a couple of days.
Did you lose your taste or anything like that?
Didn't lose my taste and smell. It was sore throat, cough. I'm still coughing a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Some like congestion. But that's really it. No fever, no other weird symptoms or anything like that. Just again, the one that's kind of hanging out a little bit is the fatigue. But
the good news is you had all those Girl Scout cookies to eat while you were laid up.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And I was home from work. And just so you know too, it's weird because Monday evening last week, I started feeling like a little bit like under the weather.
Yeah.
And so Tuesday morning before I went to work, I tested I tested negative.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday morning, I tested again, tested negative, with an at-home test. Then Wednesday evening, it kind of started progressing a little bit. I started feeling worse. So I took another test on Wednesday evening and tested positive. So, but I had 2 days of symptoms, almost 3 days of symptoms before I actually tested positive. So that's, I was a little bit surprised by that.
Yeah. Yeah. We got the, when you were telling me about that, I was in the middle of ordering the tag alongs for Melissa, cause I ordered all those cookies that we talked about last time. And I didn't remember what I had ordered. So We got the 12 boxes or the 8 boxes that I ordered, and then realized there were no tag along. So while you were laid up and trying to just make it through the day, I was trying to figure out how quickly I could get cookies to make up for the fact that I had no tag along. So $35 later, thank you to Emma, I got 4 boxes shipped to me by FedEx, and they're upstairs. So I was able to save that. So
did you eat any?
I haven't had any, although you know who has been in them. I've been eating the cookies that she doesn't like, which is new. It's the Adventurefuls.
Oh, how are those?
It's funny because Melissa ate them and she didn't like it. I ate it, and of course it's a cookie more or less, so I'm fine with it. Yeah. But talking to Emma's mother about the order, and I said, okay, like I got these. She goes, yeah, I don't really like those. So I guess it's one of those things that they aren't that great, but I thought they were fine. I mean, it's chocolate and hard caramel, basically. Nothing really chewy. Like, it's not stuck in your teeth, but they're decent. I mean, I would order another box. It wouldn't be the top of my list. It would be closer to 10 out of the 1 through 10 that we did last week.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Well, you know, it's one of those.
It's a cookie. I mean, come on.
I mean, how bad can it be?
And it's not soft. I mean, I will preface that by saying it's not a soft cookie, like a soft batch or the tagalongs, which Melissa's can't believe that I'm not really, although I'm going to have another one just to make sure, because I've been poo-pooing it. I don't like the part that's soft on there. And, you know, you guys are both after me. Like, that's peanut butter. It's good.
Well, yeah, it's peanut butter. But it's supposed to be soft.
Yeah, I don't think so. But anyhow, everybody heard all this shit last time. Yeah, so we probably we should get into our beer.
You're getting me all set.
You're worked up. Yeah, see, I get worked up over the cookies.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
That's why. Now I got to go upstairs and get some more. Although, the adventure folds are almost gone. I'm just going to take it for the team and finish them up.
Well, you're a real team player there.
Well, I am. That's why everybody keeps me around. Barely.
Nice. So this week we're going to our friends at Oddside.
Oh, right.
Yep, and I'm having a peanut butter cup stout from Oddside. And I got this is one of those I got. It's been like sitting in the refrigerator for months and in my beer fridge, and I kind of it looked like a good one, but I had so many good beers that I've been drinking lately. It just kind of just went on the back burner. But then I finally started to get to the point now where I'm like starting to get a little bit low on beer selection. Like, so I got to go like refresh that soon. And so this was in there, and so it made the cut this week. And again, it's a peanut butter cup stout from Oddside. It's a stout brewed with lactose, cocoa, natural peanut butter and roasted peanut flavors added. Got it. See, peanut butter style from Oddside. Apparently this beer, like, it doesn't exist in the world anymore. Like, if you go on Untappd, it's there, and it says that it's 7.75% alcohol by volume, 33 IBU. So I'm gonna go along with that, because it's not an Oddside's website anymore, and even if I go to try to check it on tap, it tells me that it's slated for deletion. I can't even check it. I've never been able to check into a beer, so anyway, I can't even check in. So I can't even give you a rating. Yeah. So anyway, nonetheless, it's still a beer. It's still peanut butter cup stout. I'm gonna try it.
Is there a date on it?
Expired.
No, it doesn't matter. Maybe. Let's see. What does it say here?
It's skunked.
This is no fucking clue. Okay.
Nothing on the bottom? I don't think mine does.
It's not skunked. I just bought it over the summer. It's not like I bought it years ago. It's been in there. But anyway, let me.
Mine was canned in June of 2021.
Expired. So, in the aromas, notes of chocolate, maybe a little bit of peanut butter. Let's see what I get when I drink it.
The ladies really deserve to see what we're doing here.
Very dark. Pretty good. What I'm getting is chocolate, roasted peanuts. You know, so there's definitely, and then like kind of like a lingering peanut butter-y flavor, at the end. It's good. I would have hoped to get a little bit more peanut butter, out of the taste, but still really good, pretty good beer. You know, maybe the balance is just a little bit off, but, nonetheless, I would tell you what if I could check in on Untappd, if I could,
what would
hypothetically, I'd rate it probably a 3.75. It's a good beer. And you can't really go wrong with chocolate and peanut butter. Like, you really got to fuck that one up for me to at least not like it a little bit. And this is kind of what it is. It's not anything that I'm like, wow, that's a good beer. But good. It has some good flavors to it, and it's a nice stout, and I don't know if you can find it. Maybe not. I don't know.
It's been deleted.
You can't even fucking. Untappd doesn't even want to have anything to do with it anymore. And there are beers that have been out of production for years on Untappd, and they're okay with it. This one, they're like, nope, fuck off. We don't want to talk about it. So anyway, if you can find it, it's a pretty good beer. But again, yeah, good luck finding it. We've had Oddside quite a few times on the show. Starting with episode 62, Unicorn Saddles, I have a Java Chip Mint Stout. Episode 113, Truck Stop Petting Zoo, I had a Foster of the Banana. 154, Colostomy Bag of Salt, I had a Salted Caramel Smoked Porter, and that's it. So this and then this one. So maybe you can still find the other ones. Sure the fuck can't find this one anymore, apparently. Apparently I found the only bottle left in the world.
I think you should check into the chocolate and peanut butter that they have. I think they've probably replaced the peanut butter cup or whatever it was with the chocolate and peanut butter. And I know you say it's not the same thing, but I think that's probably what happened. For whatever reason, maybe, they took away the peanut butter cup title. And then just note in there that you know, that's not exactly what you had. And the picture, of course, will show the picture of the can. But
it's not the same thing. No, I'm not doing it.
No? Okay. Well, yeah, it doesn't match the. Yeah, I probably wouldn't be able to either because it doesn't match the actual can.
Yeah.
And then I would be like, wow, you know, remember I got that check-in, but that really wasn't what I had. It's kind of like drinking the same beer twice on an episode. Can't do that.
Yeah. Well, I know that.
Yeah. Well,
one of us struggles with that more than the other.
Well, I'll tell you what I have here. I got nervous because I looked at our website. And I didn't see this one. And I said, okay, well, good. I don't think I've had this. And then I went to pull it up and it had the blue check mark on it on Untappd. So I got real nervous and I thought that I had messed something up. So thankfully, my note was explaining when I had it and it wasn't on one of the episodes. I happened to run over to this brewery one day and got a growler and decided I would go ahead and have it then. So,
well, I mean, we do drink beer outside of the podcast.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So this is one that I probably, because of the, you know, you'll see it in a second, but it's probably one that I would have saved for an episode. I do tend to drink them, or at least save if I get a multiple pack that I'll leave at least one can or bottle for a show. This one, I thankfully had a growler before, so I never would have made it. But I've got something from Old Busthead Brewing Company, and it's their Peanut Butter S'mores Caramel Macchiato Coffee Stout. So there's a lot of words there. So Peanut Butter S'mores Caramel Macchiato Coffee Stout. And it tells us that although traditionally cooked over a campfire, we found s'mores taste just as delicious when poured from a can. This variant of our Caramel Macchiato Stout blended with vanilla, cold brew coffee, s'mores extract and peanut butter extract, no, roasted peanut extract, sorry, has a chocolatey smooth flavor with a hint of graham cracker. Add in rich coffee made with a specialty blend of local brewed Cafe Crayole coffee, and you have a toasty treat to last you all summer, which is probably why the can said June 21st. And my view of what I see is a little bit different than probably what you see, but it's dark like yours is, as you would expect stout to be.
It looks so much bigger than you.
Well, I'm holding it up to the camera.
I know, but here. All right.
There
this
you
is
go.
What I
see?
Brought today.
It's got a big giant bucket.
This
but I'm going to try it and see if I can get any of those
flavors.
This glass
is as big as my head.
The perspective on this is wild. I did send it to
crazy.
The ladies, and
it's crazy.
Kelly said to bring her up one of those cupcakes.
Yeah, I'll grab her one.
Reach out your arms toward each other and take a pic. We'll try that.
There's a barrier.
Oh, yeah. See, it's cut off.
Yeah.
See, oh, it's because it's the edge of my camera. That's why. It's our cameras only see so much.
Oh, wait.
So, see, that's why. See, I got my...
Now I look even worse, though.
This isn't working out. I got a good picture of it. Oh, well. Well, I'm going to take a taste of this and tell you what I think, I said, I have had it before. And if you remember talking about the cookies last week or last episode, whatever it was, I am not a big fan of s'mores, but I think I'll get through with this one. So let me try it. I'm going to smell it.
Kelly didn't like that.
I smell peanut butter and vanilla. I don't really smell any coffee or chocolate, but I definitely smell vanilla. That's kind of the strongest, and a little bit of peanut butter. Let me see if it tastes any of that. Now we're at the bar. I the coffee bar. Shop.
We're having coffee at the bar.
I get coffee in there for sure. I get the vanilla in there for sure, which it said that it had that. So maybe that's kind of like the marshmallow, the vanilla-y taste. It's very good. I can't pick out all those flavors in there. That would be a lot to be able to decipher. But together, they make a very good beer. I rated it 4.25 on Untappd. Right. It probably deserves to go a little bit higher. I had it from, you know, straight from the growler last time. But sometimes pouring it out of a can is a little bit different for me. You would think that the growler would be better, and maybe it was, yeah. But different day, different time, that sort of thing. But yeah, 4.25, and we've had Old Busthead, or I've had Old Busthead on the episodes a couple of times, not very much. But going back to episode 114, he's a good boy. You probably know who that is. I had the original caramel macchiato stout, and then going to TTB 155 Pizza Battery, I had the orange vanilla caramel macchiato stout. So they have a couple of varieties of these. And then that was it, back to the he's a good boy. So just those two that I've had on the episodes. And anytime I can find a different variation of the caramel macchiato stout, I will grab it. And this is no different. 4.25 from Old Busthead Brewing here in Northern Virginia.
Well, I'm a big fan of caramel macchiatos in general, like at a coffee shop like we're sitting in right now.
Yeah. Yeah, this is fun, this new Skype thing. And I do too. I actually haven't had one in a while, and I was thinking about running over to Starbucks tomorrow to celebrate it being Friday. So I might grab that instead. I tend to get iced, and I don't think that's really a really iced coffee. I think you can just that one's got to do it hot.
It depends. I'll get iced or cold coffee when like cold brews, things like that, is when the weather's warmer. But, you know, in Michigan, we've had such a harshly cold winter up here. I need something hot in the morning. That's the only thing that does it for me.
Yeah. Oh, well. I still like the iced coffees. They're still good.
They're good. I'm not arguing against that. I'm just saying it's not the number number one thing that I go for.
Yeah. You ready for some crazy news?
I am. Good. It's real good. Where we go? Oh, let's see here.
Yeah, I got the stories loaded up.
This is a good one. You want to go first? You want me to go first? You go. I go.
It doesn't really matter. I didn't. This one is pretty good.
It is.
Carol. So I should have left that alone to see how you said it.
Well, I'll do it. This is taking us to Philadelphia, Philly.
Right.
Yeah, where an ad for a Bucks County pizza place printed with a hidden image of a naked guy, and then it was mailed to residents. So, especially if you're a guy, that image of the very large black man sitting on the edge of the bed with a very large penis, and we love to like sneak this guy into stuff and send it to each other just to irritate each other. Because I've seen this naked guy.
I don't ever this guy send dick that.
More than almost as many times as I've seen my own. And so anyway,
I have never done that.
Oh, well, you're missing out, Robert.
And thankfully you've never sent that to me, because I don't want that on my phone. Well, and I don't want Dave to send it to me either.
Yeah, well, you're not friends with some with the caliber of people that I am, apparently. But anyway, so we're going back to Philly here.
Right.
Chiaro's in Sellersville apologized on Facebook and called the explicit latte art atop a cup of cappuccino a devastating situation for the family restaurant. So just to kind of let you know, apparently an advertisement mailed out to residents. It says, stop in for a sweet treat for your sweetie. There's a picture of like one of those like molten lava cakes, and then there's a picture of somebody pouring a latte, and the cream is forming at the top in the shape of the very large black man with a huge penis. It says Charles at Love at First Bite, try our award-winning pizza at Hoagie's, and has like coupons at the bottom. But so apparently when they picked this, they failed to see the naked man on the top atop the latte. That's where the story was born. Sellersville Pizzeria is apologizing after a magazine advertisement unintentionally included an image of a naked man in the latte art of a cup of cappuccino. Charles Pizza and Restaurant, a Bucks County business for 35 years, recently paid for the ad to be designed and published in the February issue of a local magazine, mailed out monthly to residents in Upper Perkiomen Valley. I don't know if that's how you say it.
Close enough.
The restaurant, a longtime advertiser for the magazine, in the magazine, bought a full-page ad and sent the publication photos it wanted to appear in its promotion. Charles management and staff at Community Connection Monthly, the publication that printed advertisement, failed to recognize the design in the cappuccino foam, and one image depicted a man without any clothing and a very large flaccid penis. Without being tipped off about which photo contains the, he's definitely a shower, not a grower, or maybe he's both, it contains the explicit image. It takes a discerning eye to find out, to find it, but once you see it, you cannot unsee it. And there's a link there if you want to see it, and I clicked on it, and there it is. It's only a matter of time before someone who got a Charles menu caught this and brought it to the attention of the magazine and the pizzeria. We mailed the magazine out, and when it hit homes on February 1st, someone flipping through the magazine caught the image and immediately alerted Charles and myself. Donna Olson, Community Connections president, told Philly Voice on Friday afternoon. Charles shared an apology on Facebook on Wednesday, which has been shared far beyond the restaurant's suburban Philadelphia footprint. The incident seems to have been a mix-up and an oversight. We deeply apologize for letting this slip by. None of our proofreaders, the Community Connection proofreaders, or the actual printer proofers caught the mistake before it was printed and circulated. Charles ownership wrote, "We are working on making sure this does not happen again. We at Charles pride ourselves on being a family-oriented pizzeria and restaurant. This is a devastating situation for all of us involved, and we are sure it has been for all of you. Please accept our sincerest apologies." I might have given them additional business too, just for being funny. "For the most part, no one seems terribly offended by the incident. Maybe it's even working in Charles' favor. No, y'all have just gone on my restaurants I need to try list when I'm out that way," one Facebook user replied to the restaurant's apology. "Hilarious. Thanks for the laugh," another person wrote. "Best regards from the Netherlands. I think this will only grow your business," one person predicted. "Great job by your marketing team. Incidents like this are textbook definition of a happy accident. And considering all the hardships restaurants have faced during the COVID-19 pandemic, Charles may have backed itself into a jackpot right before the Super Bowl." I said it fine. "Still, at least publicly, Charles is taking the position that they are mortified. We just wanted to make sure people understand our position," the restaurant responded to one comment. "This thing has over 200,000 on somebody's TikTok, and already we're embarrassed. We're so embarrassed over the whole thing. It still probably won't surpass the wholesome fame of YouTube music critic Anthony Fantino's pizza slicing meme." No idea what that reference is, but if you want to find out about it, you can go to the website and watch for yourself.
Well, damn, now I want some pizza.
I do. Maybe not as much penis, but certainly, some pizza would be great.
A little less penis in your pizza?
Pizza sans penis.
Too funny. The part of me, having been through that life of advertising and things like that, I know that those things have to go through typically a couple people, although a small company like that, probably not, but somebody had to approve it. I know somebody put it in there. So was it their idea? Was it kind of done as a joke? And I said, just run it. Was it done as a joke? And then the wrong thing went out. It's hard to know. I wasn't really listening, so I don't know if they answered that.
It was probably an oversight. No, thank you for not listening. On to the next story, Robert. And I love that, we get these stories where it's just like a lot of things happen in a small amount of time. And this is one of them. I really appreciate these kinds of stories.
Well, the story just keeps on going. Let's take us to our friends at Tampa FP. which is the Tampa Free Press, or as we know it as the Free Press, where a Florida man steals a car that gets hit by a train, thrown into a house, and then he stole a forklift. So he really wasn't quite sure.
It's a chain of events.
Yep. The article tells us, no shit. You cannot make this up. Florida man was arrested after a crazy series of events led to a car being literally thrown into a home from a passing train. This is a typical definition of crazy news.
In Florida.
On Saturday, of Florida man. Saturday, deputies say that 38-year-old Bradford Weitzel of Port St. Lucie told Martin County Sheriff's detectives that he couldn't find his car. After leaving a Martin County bar early this morning. So he stole one in a good faith effort to locate his own. That's so it's going to make it harder for somebody else to find theirs. But as long as he's found his, he's fine.
Well, he's got to look at this lady's house.
Well, yeah. She needed to borrow it. Weitzel said he somehow ended up on the train tracks along Indian River Drive. And that's when Weitzel claims the car he had stolen suddenly stopped dead on the tracks as a train was coming. Who'd have thunk it? So he said he got out and ran, leaving the car on the tracks within seconds. So he had no time to get away. The train hit the car, catapulting it into a neighborhood or a nearby home where the homeowners were sound asleep. They weren't after that. Fortunately, they were not physically injured, which I am thankful for as well. Although the explosive sound of a driverless car smashing into the side of their home was clearly jolting.
Yeah, that'll wake you up.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Weitzel continued on to a nearby fruit stand where he vandalized the business and then tried to steal a forklift.
So this is what I got to ask.
Yeah.
So you've just been through that. You steal a car to try to find your own. It apparently stalls. It's a near-death experience where seconds after you get out of this car, it's flung into a house. Wouldn't you just kind of like call it a day at that point? Like, you know what? The world's telling me to go home and sleep and let me just get a fucking Uber and get home. But no.
He said no. The worst has happened. I gotta go up from here.
He's going to go vandalize a fruit stand and try to steal a forklift because, you know, why not at this point?
Boy, he's got to ride the forklift around to look for his car because obviously he parked that far away from the bar.
Or maybe he was going to use the forklift to remove the car from the side of this house here. Yeah.
Well, it says, in the end, Weitzel said he thought it was best to flag down responding deputies to let them know he was still looking for his car. Maybe they could help him.
That's probably all you told him.
Yeah. Bradford Weitzel was arrested and charged with grand theft and criminal mischief. Additional charges are expected. My head hurts.
That's the author. Your head. My head.
Yeah, my head's fine right now, but in the morning it'll probably hurt. Yeah, that's a good one. That one, it's like it just kept going. Like you thought, okay, well, he's going to steal the car. He's going to crash it, and then that's it. But then we had to stop by the fruit stand for whatever reason. And then after the fruit stand, I like they were still in the ball pit. After the fruit stand... decided to just go ahead and actually somebody called. I don't know who called police because I know he didn't, but obviously it was probably the homeowners who had a car sticking out of the side of their house.
Well, and he did eventually do the right thing and alerted.
Put the forklift back.
Yeah, he alerted the authorities that something was awry.
Right. He realized he was in over his head at that point.
Apparently.
He might need some assistance.
Probably.
His decision making was suspect. Yes.
This is very nice. I like this.
I disappeared for a second.
Yeah, this scene seems to be very restrictive.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Excuse me. Why do it look so much larger than you?
I sent the Charos ad over to Kelly and Melissa, and I said, Rob won some Charos. I heard their sausage are delicious. This goes good with a latte, apparently. And then she said, oh, our friend is back. So you must have shown this to her. Or she immediately
She knows who that guy is.
Oh, so she saw him right away. I had to look. I was thinking he was like hiding down in the and the little hearts, or maybe it was like kind of like a Where's Waldo in that cake with the goo coming out of it. And then I found him sitting there in the latte art. So we'll see. We'll see if Melissa gets it. I'll probably have to tell her.
Let's see. This is taking us to Las Vegas, where a man threatens to explode Las Vegas casino with a grenade in his backside, also known as his butt. His butthole. No explosives. And by the way, no explosives were found after threat.
Oh.
Police say it was an empty threat. A man was accused of threatening to blow up a Las Vegas casino, telling officers he had a grenade in his body, police said, in his person. Brian Gower, 46, faces one count of making threats of conveying false information concerning an act of terrorism after the incident Friday morning. According to police, Gower was arrested at the Strat Hotel and Casino after threatening to blow up the building, officers wrote in an arrest report. Police said they were talking with Gower. He was saying random things and talking about Joe Rogan and his ex-wife, the report said. So clearly he wasn't wearing a mask or vaccinated. At one point, Gower stated to an officer that he had a grenade in his backside and wanted to pass gas. Officer said Gower had previously spoken to hotel security, telling them they had 15 minutes to evacuate the building or it would explode. Officers, and he didn't specify explode with what. He was evacuating something. Officers did not find any explosives on Gower and took him to the Clark County Jail. Gower was arrested in 2021 after making a similar threat in downtown Las Vegas, records showed. So he just loves to go around and tell people that he's got explosives in his asshole and he's going to blow the place up. That's kind of his thing.
His mugshot is the best, though.
His mugshot looks very much like somebody who would do this.
Yep, he's giving it the good old thumbs up.
Yeah, he's very happy to be in prison.
Right. It looks like he just crashed a forklift.
And then, after vandalizing a fruit stand, clearly.
Right. Now this one I thought was interesting, and I gotta, you know, this is, I think, where my I won't tell you. This one takes us to our friends at The Sun. This the-sun.com. I thought at first it was going to be a .co.uk because that's typically where these come from. And
this is domestic.
Yep, this is. And the site tells us, as the headline says, that a woman told to cover up at a theme park as her big breasts make people uncomfortable.
That'll make me uncomfortable.
Well, I figured that. As the model says that she claims that she was told to cover up at a theme park for wearing a crop top as her breasts make people uncomfortable. Whitney Page Venable, 26, from Florida, USA, visited Universal Studios in Orlando and was shocked at how she was treated by the staff. Model claims an employee informed her that she would have to cover up her cleavage if she wanted to be let into the park. She was wearing a white crop top and mint green shorts, but says many other women were wearing similar outfits. I felt humiliated and embarrassed, said Whitney, who has 1.6 million followers on Instagram. I bet she does. I was told I had to change my top to be able to enter. I think it's because I have naturally big breasts that makes people uncomfortable. But as far as I know, my clothing wasn't against the rules. I feel like I was discriminated against because of the size of my breasts. I noticed that other people were staring and I felt embarrassed. It was humiliating. The incident happened in 2021, but it's only come to light this week. In a video, she can be seen on her way to Universal Studios with a friend, with the pair looking excited for their day out. And I think they meant the two, her and her friend. Moments later, their happy mood is crushed as a second video shows them standing at the entrance, waiting to be let in, as Whitney is then reportedly told her outfit is inappropriate. So I guess my top is inappropriate. We're having a problem right now, she can be heard to be saying. In a follow-up video, Whitney, who has been turned away at the entrance, says, so apparently I have to go change into a more appropriate top, even though I've seen a lot of people here in sports bra-looking tops. Speaking about the incident, I felt like I was being targeted. It was a summer, so it was hot. I didn't really understand the issue, but having natural large breasts brings attention. I ended up putting on a top over the sports bra, and my friend had another top in the car. But later, I ended up taking it off anyway because it was hot and ugly, and the fact I was really just pissed off. Smaller women can wear whatever they want, and having big breasts, however, it gets sexualized. And I don't know. Maybe the fact that I'm pushing 50 has got me wondering, like, why do you gotta? Although I guess if it was a bathing suit, it wouldn't really matter, right? Like, would they be saying anything? Well,
no, but you're at a, I don't know. Like, I'm torn with this one too, because part of me is like, well, like she said, she's not wearing anything that somebody that if somebody walked in that wasn't as, you know, voluptuous as her, yeah. Wearing the same outfit, nobody probably would have said anything. But because mm-hmm. she does have, you know, I can see part of me says, well, you know, she shouldn't be discriminated against because of the type of her body.
Right.
So why should she have to change?
Yeah, we're not going to victim shame anybody. With different
No. So there's that. But then there is also the fact that, like, you should be maybe mindful of entering Universal Studios theme park dressed, you know, showing that off. I'm really torn. Tough. I'm torn with this one. Because I do believe in not discriminating, but at the same time, like, she knows what she's got.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, in a way she was flaunting it too, though. Yeah. And so,
the other people were staring and I felt embarrassed that was the part that I kind of stuck on. It's like, I guess, although if you talk to her, she probably never would have said, oh, I wanted anybody to look at me, just what she was comfortable. And like she said, it was hot outside. So.
Maybe
it's hard to know. There's a part of you that says that you want to say, oh, well, you know, you were going to do that because you wanted people, but that's not right either. You know, it's a tough situation. I'm glad I don't have to make those decisions.
Well, there's, like, you know, it's, again, there's different types of clothing and some is more appropriate out in certain circumstances in public than others. Like, I can walk into a theme park wearing shorts and I can take my shorts off and try to walk around in my boxers, but you know, and although you can't see any more than you could with me wearing shorts, you know, it's inappropriate for me walking around in underwear, even though, you know, you're seeing the same stuff, right?
Right. And they look the same. They're cut the same.
Well, exactly. But anyway, let's move on. Speaking of the UK, we're going to the BBC, which does
have me cracking up,
which does not stand for. The guy that was in the latte that we talked about from Pete's place, BBC is a big news source in the UK. Talks about a British tourist was reunited with his false teeth after he lost them in Spain 11 years ago. Yep, Paul Bishop said he was absolutely stunned to get his false gnashers back. A holidaymaker who lost his false teeth while vomiting into a bin on a boozy night out in Benidorm, was stunned when they turned up in the post 11 years on. Paul Bishop, 63, said he felt ill after drinking cider during a night out in the Spanish party resort in 2011. After Paul's dentures were found in landfill, Spanish authorities used DNA records to eventually track him to his Stalybridge, Greater Manchester home. He said he was gobsmacked and stunned when he saw his long-lost gnashers, recalling the events of the lazy night before more than a decade ago. Paul told BBC Northwest, tonight I had down the rest of my cider and it decided to come back up. The bin was the closest thing to me. When we headed to the next bar, my friend Ben turned around to me and asked where my teeth were. Paul rummaged around in vain for his dentures in the bin. So when they turned up out of the blue in the post, he said, which is the mail, he said he thought someone was playing a prank. He explained that his false teeth had been passed from a landfill site to authorities. Next thing you know, they have found my DNA and address from British records and it popped up in the post. It's a different world over there. Paul described the whole thing as unbelievable. Everyone knows about my famous teeth. I'm going to have to open a Stalybridge teeth museum. So 11 years later, they find this guy's dentures. They use DNA. Were they afraid that the guy had been murdered or something? And then even when they found out who he was, they said, let's mail him his dentures 11 years later. Like,
let's find his current residence and send him to him.
You think after over a decade, he might have just, I don't know, gone and bought some different fucking dentures and you don't worry about it at that point. I don't know.
Well, I mean, he might have, but here they would have been, oh, you lost them. We'll just leave them in the trash. But over there, it's like, no, we got to find the rightful owner of these teeth.
Yeah. Maybe there's just better people over there. I don't know. I think it's gross, and I think they should just left them in the fucking landfill.
I've thought about it, you know, as life's changing and life's evolving and people are working from home and all that, like, if I went anywhere else, where would I go? And I thought, you know, everybody said, and we won't get into that, the reasons why, but, you know, oh, I'm going to move to Canada. And I thought, really, would I want to go there? And I thought, okay, well, maybe I would go to, you know, would I go to Switzerland? Would I go to England? Would I go to Germany? Would I go anywhere else? And,
yeah,
you know, I don't know Spain because my Spanish isn't that great, but I mean, I could probably pass. But where would a cool place be? If you moved to another country, where would you go? Like, what country would you choose if you said, I'm going to move, and we'll just say overseas, and considering Canada could be overseas because it's not the U.S. We'll consider that part of fair game. But where would you go? Like, what country, if you had to go somewhere to live the rest of your life?
I don't know. I think probably Switzerland, only because I'm constantly hearing about how fucking great people in Switzerland think their lives is. And if you research enough, you'll find out that just the quality of life.
Yeah.
And it like Switzerland is like the best country in the world to live in if you want to just be a fucking happy person. And I feel like I need
you just
to
wanna live.
Yeah. And so I guess Switzerland probably.
Yeah, that's where I was thinking too, because I think, you know, Europe has its own set of issues, and if you were trying to get away from all of that, you want to go someplace that has their shit together, and I feel like Switzerland would be the top of the line there, and they've got the healthcare and they've got all those other things going on that seems like that would be the place too. So yeah, I was figuring somewhere in that Scandinavian region would be a good spot, and I think Switzerland falls in there, but being a stupid American, I don't know if any of that's true. As long as I could get to Switzerland, I'd be fine. And if I lost my teeth, I'd know I'd get them back. So that's kind of part of the story.
That's true. I mean, you know, you can lose things, and, you know, even if it's a decade later, you can, apparently they'll just mail that shit to you.
All right. Well, our last story is going to take us to our friends at Daily News Reported. And if you remember back to episode 170, which was the episode where we had the very meowy Christmas.
Oh, that was a good one.
So we had the not so secret Santa, and then we did all that stuff, and I had this card that didn't stop for the whole hour that we were here. But in that episode, we were talking about a website called Rent a Hitman, where you could go on there, hire somebody to take somebody out that you were not a fan of, and, you know, we probably all started making our list at that point, thinking that this was real. But in this case here, we have somebody who does something very similar. And he too, well, Rent a Hitman wasn't caught. They were using that website as a way to catch people who were trying to have somebody off. In this case, we got somebody else who's a professional, but this guy, unfortunately, is not a professional hitman, Rob. I don't know if you know this, and I've never heard of this particular means of making a living, but he's a professional shitman. Wow. Says professional shitman for hire has been arrested.
This guy's face, look at him.
Yeah, look, he's got to go, Rob. For $100, he would shit on a location of your choosing.
Yeah, with those eyes, I could imagine.
Randy Cahill of Fountain Valley, California, has been arrested following a seemingly random spree of shitting on people's private property. Turns out, I really like this background. Turns out the locations where Cahill had made a deposit were all prearranged with clients. Randy Cahill's in revenge business, and for $100, he would shit on a location of your choosing. The vast majority of his business is surrounded disgruntled former lovers. And I feel like this would be easier than farting in a jar, but I'll leave that for later.
One would think.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same kind of thing, but I feel like there's less pressure. For a man living in the streets, $100 can make a huge difference between eating and not eating for a week. Start stringing together 5, 6, or 7 shits a week, and it can be life-changing. More often than not, Randy would shit on your ex's car, lawn, or front porch.
Oh, man. That's great.
Every now and then, he would eat Taco Bell first. Taco Bell. First, if the customer wanted a nice runny shit.
I love how you're like talking about Taco Bell as we're reading this story.
For some reason, I'm still hungry.
That's how you know you have a problem.
Oh, I do. Unfortunately for Randy, he was caught on a Ring camera blasting ass on the windshield of a cheating ex-boyfriend as requested by his last client. After being taken into custody, Randy had to say, "One day I was shitting in an alleyway and a dude offered me some money to crap in a bag and put it in his former mother-in-law's front stoop. And that's how it all started. I made $20 that day, but I soon realized I have a special skill and I upped my price. This is the first arrest I've made on a shit man. I have a bad feeling that all the attention given this case locally and nationally that will inspire copycat shitters."
Do you think he had read the story about the chick who sells $1,000 jars of fart?
See, I wonder why you're going so cheap. There are over 110 confirmed victims for the shitman for hire services. He would likely spend about a year in county jail and have a multitude of fines and restitution to pay.
Yeah, it's a lot of shit.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's good. He looks like he's got to go. Maybe he was holding one in too long and wanted him to get the picture out of the way so he could go.
All right. Well, that was great.
I'm gonna save this picture.
Yeah, that face. That face, man. You know, I feel like there's so many things you can do to make money now, yeah, just with the advent of the internet and OnlyFans, yeah, and things like that. Yeah. And so you can make a living just shitting wherever people want you to take a shit.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they don't do that in Switzerland.
Probably not. That's why I'm going to move there.
Yeah, I was thinking there's got to be some cool place. And I guess you could, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the ramifications of doing that or what would take. And, how much would your money be worth over there? Like, you think about moving someplace cheaper within the U.S., but what would it be? And you'd have to leave all your stuff here. I mean, you could take some things, but you don't want to move all that stuff over there.
I don't know. I've heard stories of people who have moved to like these beautiful places and then you find out that the cost of living is just so much cheaper there. And so, yeah. I don't know. I have a client that has like this freaking, you know, beautiful villa, off of, it's in Mexico.
Yeah.
Right on the ocean. And he was like, yeah, it was like $300,000. Like, I just like, I mean, you hear it. He's like, yeah. And there's a staff and security, and it's really weird. I don't know.
It's a cartel.
Yeah, apparently, you got to run drugs through it. But I mean, you know, yeah, you can deal with that, then you're okay. You're golden.
That'll bring it down to 150.
Probably, it's not that much coke.
Yeah, I might have to look. I'd be curious. I think that's how my mind works.
I'll probably think about something here.
Then I get curious. Let me see what it really would cost, because you never know. You know, and that's kind of how life has taught us over the last 2 years. You got like, well, it might be something different somewhere. But, I mean, it would take forever to kind of plan and do that. Although, I guess some people could just wake up one day and go, all right, I'm going. Let's pack up and go. But,
or you just move somewhere domestically, too. That might be a lot easier. Yeah.
Even just within Melissa keeps talking, even within the state. Because I don't want to go get a new driver's license somewhere else.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Let me send in the paperwork to just, you know, give me one of those little cardboard cards that goes with it. Say my address has changed, but having to get a whole new one with a different state. Pain in the ass.
That's true. I agree. I would agree with that.
Oh, well. Well, anyhow, well, that's episode 174 in the books. We talked about a lot of different things this week and even got serious with one of the stories. And that's cool. But good to see you. Glad you're feeling better.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you then.
See you then.
Preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. No words of their own, not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com, stop being a little bitch, and just own up and do it.